This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Listening to the Ipswich Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, if you've come for a little bit of therapy, a little bit of an inquest on your team, a little bit of a rant, a little bit of a rave, because frustrations may be at an all-time high. Maybe you don't understand them frustrations because you are a team that is still just outside those playoff places. Yes, you've played games more, but you want to see more ultimately from your team. Well, ultimately, you have come to the right place, because the next 30 minutes is the Ipswich Town Takeover. And I know the two guests with me tonight will certainly not hold back, and you shouldn't hold back either. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. So much to discuss, so much to happen, and it's happening right here on the Ipswich Fan Show. And we are joined first by the man, the legend, the Ipswich legend. It is Alex Griffin. Alex, always good to get you on. We started speaking last week. I'm glad to get you on again. It wasn't to be on the weekend. One win in six now. Oxford at home. We said how important those home games were. There's more of them towards the end of the season. I watched your vlog. I said I would. I know you were disappointed. Alex, where do we begin, my friend?
Mate, where do we begin? I'm starting to give up, but I'll always support Ipswich. It's just inconsistency, and it's just going to keep going on and on and on and on. Mark Sevens, he's not spending any money. Mm. I feel like he just doesn't care, to be honest. I'm 20, and the best thing I've seen Ipswich, well, the most success I've seen is us getting in the playoffs, and still we got knocked out by blimmin' Norwich. I'm just lost for words. I feel like it's our season over. However, we are still only 8 points off. Well, I think Rotherham are winning at the moment, but you know, we've still got enough games to be able to get to in the playoffs. I think there's still a little bit of hope, but there's not a lot, mate, honestly.
Yeah, and when you mention that, Alex, look, I'm not in that Ipswich bubble. It's why we do this fan show. We want to know more about you and your team and get the true Ipswich Town perspective. But, you know, we can look at it on paper, and we can look at it from outside of that bubble. Seeing Ipswich just outside the playoffs, yes, you've played games more, and, you know, that is a worry that other teams could maybe create more of a gap, more of a cushion between the two. But it's sad. It makes me sad, Alex, to hear fans, you know, and I saw the social media reaction, but to hear you as fans say, it's over. You know, there's still, what, 11 games to go and you're only seventh, yeah, and you're saying, it's over. Where has that feeling come from, that frustration? How has it boiled over to this?
At the end of the day, we're playing, when we play teams around us, we can't win. We can't seem to win. Yes, fair enough, we've got a lot of games left that, you know, the teams we're playing are going to be below us at the table. But, you know, we went to AFC Wimbledon the other week and we struggled. We were held to a 0-0 draw. And if that's the case, I mean, no disrespect to Wimbledon, they gave us a good game, but if we can't be picking up points off teams like Wimbledon, that's where we all lose hope. But, yeah, like you said, we've got enough games to still get into the playoffs. So we've just got to hope now. But at the end of the day, Norwood's injured. He's going to be out till at least April. Jackson's been red carded, so he's going to miss three games. We are left with Freddie Sears, who's not actually match fit. Well, I don't think he's fully fit yet. And Will Keane, who's very inconsistent. And he's not really a goal scorer either. So we're left with two strikers who we can't rely on to score goals. And that's where I lose faith, because, yeah.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, the upstairs team, the front office, and I checked Alex's social media after the game. In fact, I think Lambert was trending and I was all over it because the social media reaction was heavy. And just some of the tweets I've got here in front of me. One saying, 10 years of Marcus Evans, no ambition. You can blame the manager, but what support has he had from the owner? Another tweet saying, Lambert's fault. He changed the winning side, always using different formations. This is his own doing and we must blame it at his door. Then another team, this is all down to a lack of investment. Another tweet, sorry, excuse me. What do you make of those and where do you stand them and whose camp do you join in those tweets?
I see why people are frustrated because we're a big club at the end of the day and we shouldn't be in League One. I mean, yes, we deserve to get relegated because we weren't good enough last season in the Championship. But I think it's a bit harsh to pinpoint one person. I think Evans and Lambert are both to blame. You know, Evans hasn't invested in the club. And Lambert, yeah, like you mentioned, he's been rotating the squad ever so much. We started off the season 13 unbeaten, sorry. Why would you rotate the squad after going on an unbeaten run? It frustrates me because if we had have kept playing, obviously the international break didn't help, but I feel like if we had have just kept going, the momentum would have just been, we would have been flying. But I don't know. In my opinion, I don't think we should get rid of Lambert because...
Well, he signed a contract extension. Where did that contract extension actually come from? Just early into his tenure, and he signed a 6-year extension?
5 years, I think.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I don't know where it came from, to be honest, but Evans obviously is, I don't know, maybe looking at a long-term plan with Lambert, but...
But you have to match that with ambition, don't you? An investment.
Yeah, you do. So he needs to invest because if he doesn't invest and we've got Lambert, I think it could be... I hate to say it, but I feel like we could rot in this league and I don't want to see that. I really don't.
Well, we kind of heard as much because I'm guessing, Alex, you know, you chat to a lot of fans on your videos. Everyone should check them out, by the way, on Alex's YouTube channel. But the boos at the end, Alex, I mean, everyone knew about them and fans even saying to you, rubbish, inept performance. Is this feeling towards the club at the minute and towards the manager and the board, it's just a general consensus, isn't it?
It is, yeah. To be honest, I'm not one to boo. I don't really like it, to be honest, because at the end of the day, you support your team whether they win or lose. And yes, it's not good at the moment. We are very inconsistent. But yeah, I know people boo. They're frustrated. They've paid money to go to the game. But at the end of the day, what's booing going to do? What's it going to achieve? You're booing the players. It's not going to breed any confidence at all. It's only going to add more pressure. I went to Wimbledon the other week. I've said this before. A lot of boos after that 0-0 draw at Wimbledon away. And I saw Luke Chambers. He was walking off, shaking his head. He's been affected by that. And I just think it doesn't help. So I'm not one to boo.
Yeah, no, I understand. Get behind your team. Booing won't change it. It'll only make the players, obviously, feel worse. Obviously, it was worse on the weekend because it wasn't just the defeat. Caden Jackson got sent off. Now you've got no Norwood as well. It just feels like at the minute you're not getting that rubber to green. You can't catch a break. What did you make of the sending off, obviously, Jackson, violent conduct, and losing Norwood as well as you will for a period of time?
Well, I don't think it was a red. I didn't see him stamp on his face. It didn't look like he stamped on his face. But obviously the referee thought he did. So, yeah. If he did, then yeah, red card by all means. But we could have always appealed. I didn't see it properly, but it's frustrating because without Jackson, I don't see I can't see us scoring goals because, like I said, Sears, he's been out of the game for a long time now, and just chucking him back in the first team in the starting lineup is just I can't see Sears scoring goals. I mean, Will Keane is good at hold up play, but Jackson and Norwood are our men, and having them both up front together at the start of the season, it really worked. So it's going to be a tricky one, but hopefully we can find out a way to score goals.
Yeah, it doesn't feel much hope, does it, without, you know, one striker available. And this goes back to the recruitment and kind of everything that we've been saying. And last week, Alex, I felt like we sort of wrapped it up with a little bit of positivity. We were saying, you know, those eight games at home out of the 12 and something to really build on home form. You've got a fancy Ipswich on the push. Didn't work out losing to Oxford at home. But if you can, Alex, you go week in, week out. You know, you speak to all the fans, you do the videos. If there's any, where is the light at the end of the tunnel? What hope can you give us and for the fans listening? How can they, if they can, turn it around?
I think it's the fans. We get behind the team now. I mean, we've sold out Bristol Rovers. Blackpool away will be a decent attendance. I think we've just got to forget what's happened. I mean, I know it's hard to, but if we can forget the past, forget the results that we've had, I think we should just go against Blackpool, the fans just go again. Imagine it's the first game of the season and we really get behind the boys. That will breed confidence. I think a good atmosphere always breeds confidence. So, yeah, I think the you look at our squad, we haven't got a bad team at all. Mm. You know, we've got championship level players in our squad, so there's no reason why we shouldn't be up in the top six. I think we've just got to forget what's happened now. Obviously, Oxford was diabolical. I mean, I say it was diabolical, but in the first half, we actually played well. We just couldn't score goals, and that's my only concern at the moment, just scoring goals. We play the football, we just can't score the goals. So if we play good football, you need to score goals. Otherwise, what hope is there? But yeah, like I say, the fans just need to get behind them now and really go for it on Saturday.
For you, Alex, why do we sometimes see a team that do get relegated and then they struggle because you go, oh, this team shouldn't have got relegated. They're championship worthy. That's the stature and the size of the club and the team is good enough. Those players are championship players. But then we see them go down to League One and they do struggle to bounce back. Is it the weight of expectation, the pressure, or do we think, you know what, now there's so much negativity that has, you know, just oozed into these players. We need a complete rehaul. We need a complete rebuild and a reset because there's so much negativity around the dressing room. It's very hard to then switch that losing mentality over.
Yeah. Well, obviously, we got relegated and I think a lot of fans underestimated this league. You know, I don't know if you saw social media, but there's a lot of fans going, oh, 100 points, 100 goals. We're going to smash this 10-pot league. stuff like that. But League One's not an easy league. You look at some of the teams in this league, you've got some massive clubs like, you know, Sunderland, Portsmouth, Blackpool. I'm not going to list them all, but it's a difficult league. Obviously, we went on that unbeaten run at the start of the season and I think maybe the players got a bit too confident. So, yeah, I just think it is a tough league and I think for any team that does get relegated, you can't underestimate it. I predicted at the start of the season that we'd get fifth, which is in the playoffs. And, I mean, that's still possible. So, we've just got hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Just got to hope. Alex, really appreciate you coming on. Please check out Alex Griffin's YouTube videos. Like I said, doing a wonderful job just connecting with the fans home and away on their match day experiences. And basically, what we do as well, giving you your say to have your say on Ipswich Town. And you still can tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. But next up, it is one to never hold back. It's Jordan Hockhold.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Ipswich Town Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, we just heard from Alex Griffin there all about the season so far. And I've got to say, his outlook isn't the best one at the minute. Not the most positive, worrying for Ipswich this season. Almost going to the point of saying the season was over. And I questioned him on that because they are only in eighth, just outside those playoff places. And with those games at home, you can never give the belief up. Well, someone who I'm delighted to speak to once again is Jordan Hockhold. Jordan, really good to get you on. Enjoyed our chat last week. And you were someone that I was impressed with. You didn't pull no punches on the state of play with your team. And I'm expecting at the minute, your mood hasn't got any better because it was 1-0 on the weekend to Oxford. What did you make of it, Jordan?
Well, Charlie, where do I start? Tactically inept. Them shirts the players were wearing looked way too heavy for them. Looks like the pressure's getting to them. I think the most alarming thing was is that everyone says we've got the best squad in this league, but you tell me at any point when we went 1-0 down on Saturday, did we look like getting back into the game? Because it didn't to me. I'll just add a little phrase that Alex said earlier, and this is nothing against Alex, I'm just using it because I've heard it tons and tons of times this season. We played really well first half. We created chances, but we just didn't put the ball in the net. And how many times have I heard that this season? Unfortunately, that phrase ain't going to get you promoted, though, is it? That's all well and good, keeping the ball. Oxford were quite happy for us to have the ball. 65% possession in the first half. They were quite happy with it.
Yeah.
Every time they got the ball, they looked mustard, mate. I'll be honest with you. Look at the goal they scored. Just take that, for instance. Bang, bang, bang. In the back of the bread basket. Do you know what I mean? It's just not good enough, Charlie. It's just not good enough. And I'll go back to a little phrase that I said last week. I retweeted it. Everyone can hear it. The recruitment in January was absolutely abysmal. Abysmal, I'm telling you. Because now, with Caden Jackson's absolute ridiculous red card on Saturday, I'm only going on that Ipswich didn't appeal it. So that tells me it was obviously quite a stamp on the player. I don't know. I didn't really see. But you've now got James Norwood out with a groin strain. And they knew about the groin strain before last week's game. That's what I'm saying. They said, we're going to hold off till the summer. But he couldn't hold it off no more. So why haven't we got a striker in just in case it went bad, like it has? Now we've got Caden Jackson out. We're now relying on Will Keane, who Paul Lambert didn't even want at the start of the season. It's abysmal, mate. We've got Freddie Sears on the bench, bless him. Everyone keeps saying, well, he's going to do the business, he's going to do that, and he's going to do this. But that's all well and good, but he's only going to get 10 minutes on Saturday. That's all Lambo brings him on for. Where do we go from? Where are the goals going to come from? Because we weren't scoring goals with our two top boy strikers. Do you know what I mean? So you tell me where the goals are going to come from.
They've got one striker available. Obviously, we know where the goals are going to come from. You can't say every week, oh, you know, we had the chances, but where's the ruthlessness? Where's the clinicalness? Who do we point the finger at them? I mean, we don't want to, Jordan, but look, someone has to cop the blame for this. Seeing the social media reaction, you heard my chat with Alex. A lot of the fans are divided. Is it Marcus Evans? Is it Lambert? And if they knew about this, where was the recruitment? And have we been misled? Because we heard at the start of the season, and in defence and fairness to Paul Lambert, he shot this down. He said, let me tell you, we don't have the biggest budget. We can't go out and spend on players.
Nonsense.
Is there a little bit of truth on that? Or you're saying that nonsense?
Look, I'm not saying we've got the biggest budget. It's hard to say, really. I couldn't tell you wages, etc. Budget-wise, when it goes out for money, spending money on players, you ain't... I mean, bloody hell, I've probably got a bigger budget than Ipswich Town. I've got 20 quid in my wallet. Do you know what I mean? the fact of the matter is, mate, is that Marcus Evans has tightened the purse strings once again. I explained it to you last week. I feel like a broken record. Every single fan that I speak to... Right, Charlie, let me put this to you, right? Everyone's saying, oh, Paul Lambert this, Paul Lambert that. Right, Paul Hurst got it wrong. I'm not going to sit here and say he didn't get it wrong, right? But Paul Hurst, before, was successful. Paul Lambert, in previous, has been successful. Roy Keane, who he appointed, successful. Mick McCarthy, before, successful. Paul Jewell, successful. So why have they come to Ipswich Town and none of them have got us to the Premier League and we've ended up in League One? You answer me that, Charlie. It just seems to be that we seem to have these successful big-name managers keep coming in. And at the end of the day, you can't... If you've only got money to shop at Aldi or Lidl, and this is nothing against Aldi or Lidl, you'll shop at Aldi or Lidl. But if you've got big bucks to go out and spend a bit of coin at Waitrose, you'll spend a bit of coin at Waitrose. And it's exactly how it is in a transfer market.
Yeah.
So I don't know how more simplified I can make it, really.
I understand it, but then who do we blame for this? Because you're saying, you know, and Mick McCarthy wasn't wanted at the club. He said, be careful what you wish for, you know, the grass isn't greener. Jordan, I don't understand, because from that outside perspective, the team's in eighth position, and we're sort of talking about a situation here where from speaking to you, the fans, and I really appreciate you and Alex, and I'm thinking of you and hearing you tonight. Honestly, it genuinely makes me sad, because when I speak to you and other Ipswich fans, the outlook at the minute is so bleak. You would think you're 17th in the league rather than 8th.
The thing I'd say about Mick McCarthy is that he did a fantastic job on a very limited budget. How he got us in the playoffs with, I mean, no disrespect, and with players like Jay Tab and people like that, I don't know. You'd have to tell me. But then he found absolute worldies for free, because I think it comes with his name. You got people like Dave McGoldrick and Daryl Murphy, and I just think things become very stale with his attitude towards the fans, with our attitude towards him. I don't think it was anything down to the results he was getting as such, because we were mid-table. I think it was the attitude and the way he was playing football. Mm-hmm. And I think we just, as fans, we wanted a gamble. That's what we wanted. I'll go with that. I'll probably put that on the fans. If we wanted a gamble, Paul Hurst come in, and it didn't work out. It didn't work out. I mean, Charlie, I said to you last week that the blame lies on Marcus Evans. Who doesn't think that? Is bonkers as far as I'm concerned. I just don't see, you know what I mean? But then at the same time, I can see why people are questioning Lambert's ability as a manager when, I don't know, it's a rough old times being an Ipswich fan at the moment, and we're going to have to hold tight because it don't look like we're going anywhere. The only way I can see us even remotely getting near them playoffs is because of the fixtures we've got left. But then, do we look good enough to beat any team at the moment? And that ain't me overreacting, but it's just truth, mate. It's just truth. As soon as we go 1-0 down in a game, we don't look like getting back into it. Nowhere near look like getting back into it. Not at any point on Saturday do I think we get back into it when we went 1-0 down.
But I think this is where half the problem stems from, Jordan, because we can talk about the lack of investment, you know, the recruitment. Where has the recruitment been? It's not been good enough. There's not been enough of it. But now we see, you know, when the window is closed, we've only got 11 games left in the season. How can we look for a positive? How can we look for a solution? Because speaking to you, Jordan, and even Alex, but specifically you, it just sounds like to me that Ipswich have got themselves into such a bad place that whatever really happens, win, lose or draw with Lambert, we've just got to a situation where, I don't want to say toxic because it sounds so dramatic, but there's so much negativity around the club at the minute. I don't know how we move on. I mean, it's not the answer, again, a new manager, but, you know, seeing the social media reaction, seeing the reaction to Paul Lambert's post-match conference, no one was pleased with that. And, you know, the tactics inept, the booing at the end of the game. I don't know what can make us, and even speaking to you, have that positivity about supporting the Tractors one more time.
Well, look, I think Lambert's a bit of an easy target. I'll say it, because you can change a manager. Changing a manager is easier than changing an owner. You know football. I can tell you know football. It's obviously a lot easier to hound out a manager than it is an owner. That's what I'd say on the matter. The be all and end all is that we were a top 10 championship club before Marcus Evans took over, with Jim McGilton in charge, who's, I don't know, would you call him a legend? Not far off, mate.
Yeah, definitely.
And now look at us. That's all I'll say, mate. It's pretty bleak, if I'm honest with you. I mean, if we don't go up this season, I know what Evans will say. He'll say, look, we're concentrating on youth, bringing youth through. That's fine. That's great, that is, when you've brung through Flynn Downs, who I personally think is one of the best players in League One football. Doesn't shine because he doesn't score goals, but he's not that sort of player. And you've brought through Luke Woofenden. That's great. I support that all the way. I love seeing a young, one of our own player. Do you know what I mean? Proper put it about. I love that, mate. Nothing give me more buzz. But the be-all and end-all is, once again, at the end of this season, they're going to go for a few quid, and that money ain't going to get reinvested. I can guarantee you that. Marcus Evans going to look at that. He'll be like, 5 million in the old pocket. Meanwhile, he's sitting out in the Maldives in the summer. We've all gone back to our factory work. I mean, I'm a postman. I'll go back to that. And yeah, I'll be buying me tickets. I'll be buying this and that. It's just like the owner don't care. He don't care. He puts in a match day blog once a year. Leo Neal, who's his right hand man, keeps coming out saying, yeah, we went in for big players in January. We went in for players that would really push us on. But unfortunately, the market's too tight in January. Well, it weren't too tight for Peterborough. Weren't too tight for Rotherham, Portsmouth, Oxford. Weren't too tight for all them lot, was it? They all seem to find a cash from somewhere. And we've got the richest owner in the league. So you... do you know what, Chad? I'm out of answers, mate. I really am sometimes.
I know.
But it's probably sounding drastic because, look, I'm not going to sit here and say we're in the same breath as Bolton, because Bolton fans really do appreciate, like football clubs, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
But this is no disrespect to Fleetwood, but Fleetwood have gone above us tonight, and so they should do, because they play for their shirt, do you know what I mean? They proper play for the coin, play for the shirt, blood, sweat and tears. But we shouldn't even be in the same bracket as Fleetwood Town. 5 years ago, I remember them playing Leicester, or 10 years ago, playing Leicester in the FA Cup, in like the preliminary rounds. I'd never even heard of them, mate.
Crazy. Jordan, it's crazy. We've spoke twice. I feel like I've known you forever. I feel sad that your frustrations, really. It's absolutely
so
mental.
Don't,
Jordan. Well, we are coming to the end of the show, but we haven't even got to speak about Blackpool, because so much drama revolving Ipswich at the minute.
I don't think I want to, Charlie.
Oh, mate. Well, I'll put you on the spot, though, because I will quickly get out a prediction from you. Let's try end on a high if we can, Jordan. Blackpool, though, not in the greatest of form. 1-5 for themselves. What are you making of that? Just a quick prediction.
Right now, I'm going to say 3-0 Blackpool, but I know come Saturday morning, I'm going to say 4-1 Town, because I love the Town, mate.
Yeah, you do. And if I get on your social media and then on Saturday, he's, come on, boys, I'm behind you after you've predicted 3-0. I'm not going to be happy with you, Jordan, but I'm always happy when you come on, mate. Jordan, a real delight to speak to you. Jordan Hockhold there, what a legend he is. Just always telling the truth on his team, pulling no punches. The Ipswich Fan Show is absolutely flying. You know why? We give you, the fans, good, bad, the ugly. Have your say.
This is Love Sport.